This is NPR Illinois. I'm Brian Mackey. The debate over the minimum wage is usually framed in economic terms. One side says it will help people make more money. The other says it will lead to a loss of jobs. But there are other ways of looking at the issue, including health. Robert Kessner is an economist with the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois. This summer, he co-authored a paper looking at how increases in the minimum wage affect the health of babies born to lower-income workers. Robert Kessner, welcome to the program. You start by talking about the standard debate over the minimum wage, higher earning and lower income inequality on one side, labor cost, unemployment, and higher prices on the other side. Can you give us a brief overview of what the research says about that aspect of the minimum wage debate?
Yes. So it's a long debate. It's been ongoing for many, many years, decades. So it's not a new debate. And it really revolves around the central issue of whether when the government mandates a minimum wage or increases the minimum wage, do we see some loss of employment of jobs? And that's a negative thing. Most people would consider that an unintended and a bad, to use a normative word, bad consequence of the law. So the research has been extensive, back and forth on this, but I think using the Congressional Budget Office, which seems to be a pretty fair, most people view it as a fair arbiter of research, their conclusion is, and that would be my own reading of the literature, would be that when we raise the minimum wage, we see some small negative effects on employment, particularly among the youngest groups or the least skilled groups in society. But that effect is quite small. For example, a 10 or 20% increase in the minimum wage would decrease employment over, you know, among, say, teens or younger groups by less than 1%. So it's pretty, very small effect. But there is a negative effect on employment, but it's small. And as you noted, on the positive side is that those who keep their job, which is the vast majority of people, earn more for each hour they work, which is important for people at that type, at that income range.
So that's the economic debate. You also then sort of turn to talk about the research on non-labor market outcomes of an increase in the minimum wage, which one of those aspects could be health. You call the research there sparse. Do you have a sense of why this is an area that has not been studied more?
Right. I mean, it is surprising because there's a lot of study of the effect of income on various aspects of life, for example, health or general well-being. And so the minimum wage in the end it raises incomes. So it's very natural to think of the minimum wage not just in the narrow sense does it increase or decrease employment, but what does the greater income do for these families or these people? So there is a long literature, a very big literature on the effects of income on health, the effects of income on all aspects of life. And not surprisingly, most research finds that greater incomes lead to better outcomes. So extending this to the minimum wage, it really, I think, reflects just the preoccupation with the political debate that revolves around employment and ignores the possible other beneficial effects or other even negative effects of the minimum wage. But here, so we focus on the fact that even though there is some small decrease in employment for the vast majority of people working at around the minimum wage, it increases their incomes. What effect does this increase in income have on their health? And in this case, we focused on pregnant women because this is a particularly good part of life to look at because the pregnancy, the 9-month period, it's a relatively short period, but it has long-lasting effects on someone's health. There's a whole literature that shows, you know, the health of the infant or even in utero has long-lasting impacts on life many years later. So it also gives us a 9-month period where we can focus on, you know, what is happening to the mother's income because of the minimum wage around that period or just prior, a year or two prior to that, because the minimum wage could have raised incomes before she actually got pregnant, and that would help her during her pregnancy, too.
And so it's this finite period you can look at, makes it maybe a little more manageable to research.
Exactly. Well put. Thank you.
Well, so your paper has a formidable equation with a lot of Greek letters. And for those of us who aren't professional economists or statisticians, can you give us an idea of what you were looking at, what sort of control variables you included in there, things that, you know, other things that might have affected the outcomes?
It's pretty simple what we did in trying to describe. We know, for example, a woman who lived in Illinois in say 2016, they faced a different minimum wage than a woman who lived in Illinois in 2004. So we have a pregnant woman, age 25, one living in Illinois, one in 2016, one in 2004. They had different minimum wages at that point in time. So we compared these two women. Then we would compare a 25-year-old pregnant woman in Indiana in 2016 and 2004, where there was no change in the minimum wage during this period. So that's the kind of experiments that we had in our mind and that we actually used in the data. We kind of try to find women when the minimum wage was high, compare them to very similar women, for example, women in the same state, same age, same race, same education, at a point in time when the minimum wage is much lower, and let's see what the difference is in their children, their infants' health, measured by birth weight and low birth weight and other measures like this.
And so you did, in fact, find that an increase in the minimum wage is connected to an increase in birth weight.
Right. The other thing we did, is, which I think most people would say is sensible, we focused on the effect of the minimum wage on low-educated mothers because the minimum wage is more likely to affect them than others because of their earnings potential. So, for example, the average low-educated mother in our sample worked about 1,000 hours a year prior to the birth of her child or around the time she's going to have birth. So if the minimum wage was raised a dollar, that would generate about $1,000 more each year on average. So we presented our results in terms of that $1,000. And we found that this $1,000 increase from about a dollar increase in the minimum wage was associated with very beneficial effects for the infant health. Not large, but beneficial. For example, among non-white women, who have relatively high rates of low birth weight, which is a poor outcome, the dollar increase in minimum wage resulted in about a half a percentage point or about a 5% or so decrease in the probability that the infant would be born as a low birth weight, which has very important adverse effects, not only for the infant when they're young, but also later in life. So that's not a large effect, but it is a very beneficial effect on a very important outcome. On average, for the entire group of low-educated mothers, we found about a 3% decrease in the rate of low birth weight. So the other thing that we felt good about was that where the minimum wage was supposed to have bigger effects because of the earnings of mothers, we found those bigger effects. And where they're supposed to be smaller, we found smaller effects. So
that would be in cities or states that had independently raised their minimum wage, you know, above the federal minimum, you found a bigger effect. And if it's a state that had just matched the federal or not taken any separate state minimum wage, then you did not find your effect.
Right. And we also found bigger effects for groups of mothers who are more likely to earn the minimum wage and benefit from such a minimum wage than for mothers who are less likely. For example, married mothers, even if they're low educated, they tend to have more income, and the minimum wage doesn't do that much for them in terms of their family's income.
And this also matches research that's been done about the earned income tax credit, you say?
Yeah. In fact, it's pretty amazing, and we clearly weren't trying to match the same results that this other line of research got. But like the minimum wage, your earned income tax credit, which is oftentimes viewed as the alternative to the minimum wage and widely loved by politicians, we found effects very similar in terms if we put it on the same $1,000 metric. The earned income tax credit led to a $1,000 increase. Our results are very similar to what this other literature found. And that's, again, because both policies are raising family incomes, and incomes are having these beneficial effects.
And that's really the bottom line of your report here, is that this is an area where the debate can get beyond jobs versus income. There are other areas that can be studied here and other potential effects of the minimum wage.
No, that's really one of the important aspects of our study, is just bringing this issue to the fore, because in the end, it's just an increase in income, and income has a lot of different parts of life that it can affect. So we should start looking at this, and a full assessment of the value of the minimum wage policy is just not limited to its employment effects, but also, as you noted, these other aspects, and particularly infant health. I think a lot of people would think this is a particularly important aspect of life to look at, and one that, since it is being, seems to be positively affected by minimum wage, an important component of the benefits of minimum wage that should be considered.
What is there anything about your study that I haven't asked you about that's worth thinking about?
Well, yeah, the other thing is we also looked at, well, some of the mechanism. You know, what does the income actually do? For example, it could increase nutrition. It could reduce stress from financial stress. So we're a little limited in the types of mechanisms that we could look at that links the income to the infant health. But one we did look at was prenatal care. Did the mother get more prenatal care? And in fact, we find that she did get slightly more prenatal care associated with the increase in income and minimum wage. So that, again, provides another link in the story between the minimum wage, the improved infant health, and this would be one of the mechanisms would be the mother gets more timely and greater amount of medical care. So,
all right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate your interest in our work.
Robert Kessner is with the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois. The paper he co-authored for the National Bureau of Economic Research was Effects of the Minimum Wage on Infant Health. I'm Brian Mackey.